Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and I'm here with my co-host, Anthony McCarthy. Anthony?
Great to be here, Mark. Great first hour. I'm so excited about this second hour, though. I was addicted to The Wire, just like everybody else.
Yes, I was. Before we come into that, let me remind you all that The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite, Baltimore's monthly magazine of ideas and innovation. This month, Urbanite explains a new movement in architecture and design to base the downsizing of Baltimore City and offers an in-depth look behind the state's biggest transportation project. It's the building issue. Available at over 800 locations, visit www.urbanitebaltimore.com for a list of drop locations. Now, one of the things interesting, we got an email, I guess last week, maybe a week and a half ago, from Dr. Kimberly Moffitt, who's an assistant professor of American Studies at UMBC. And she said she was doing this survey on The Wire that she was going to present at this conference in England. And so I became kind of intrigued and wrote her back saying, well, what conference in England and what's going on over there? And so she wrote back, and then she sent me the names of the conference conveners, and I wrote them, and they wrote back, and we wanted to see what was going on. And so we invited them to join us, too. We'll be here in a minute from Roger Burrows, who's professor of sociology at the University of York in England. He'll be joining us. Clark Peters will be in the studio soon, who, of course, played Lester Freeman on The Wire. And is an actor, singer, writer, and director, and is in the new series that that David Simon is shooting in New Orleans as well. Mm-hmm. So it'll be great to see him here too soon. So good to have you here, and welcome, Kimberly Moffitt.
Thank you.
So tell us about what's going on here.
So I guess it's been a year ago now that I devised a course called Baltimore in Film. And one of the things that I learned, and I actually did that class specifically to develop my greater love for Baltimore, because I'm not a native nor a longtime resident here. And so I decided to create this class so that I could explore how is Baltimore represented in various media forms. Of course, you cannot do such a class without talking about The Wire.
That's right.
Students can't wait until you talk about The Wire. And usually the way I devise the class is I talk about The Wire the last month of the class.
So it's to keep them in class.
Keep them intrigued until we get to The Wire. Because many of the students don't know the other representations of Baltimore, whether it's John Waters films. He's dated to our 18 to 22-year-olds now.
Right.
Certainly, John Waters is dated?
Yes, of course. I mean, great films for those who enjoy his campy style, but he's considered dated for them. Even Homicide is considered dated for this population of students, which is one of my favorite television series of all time.
Which is more than 20 years old, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. At this point. So anyway, I decided to explore how significant The Wire was to Baltimore natives specifically, and decided, instead of just talking about it in my class, why don't I do something about it to see research-wise what's going on with this topic? Mm-hmm. So I decided to develop I'm doing some survey research that's going to look at what I've called The Wire and its representations of Baltimore through the eyes of the natives, just to see.
who would be those natives?
I'm curious to hear what Baltimore residents think about The Wire. We know that it is a phenomenal show, a phenomenal commentary on any city in America, but I want to hear the folks who were represented and the city that was represented. What do those of us that live here think about that representation? And so that's really what started this whole project. And then, of course, it's been picked up, or there's been interest in the work that I'm doing at this conference in Leeds.
So what are you discovering about what people think about The Wire in Baltimore?
So far, a number of things. First, I'm learning that it's quite popular even abroad. It's not just those of us here in the States that are talking about it. I've got about 20% of the respondents to my survey who are international residents, whether it's from Canada, mostly from the UK. Those are the two popular. But I'm also hearing from folks in Israel, from Finland, from Kenya. So it's really interesting to hear how popular the show has become even after its end over a year ago, at least here in the States. There's some other interesting findings that I'm learning about how we as Baltimore residents feel about The Wire. For the most part, we felt like it was the most appropriate setting for such a show. We like what it offered to expose the urban plight that's happening in so many of our cities. Some of the criticisms that I've heard from respondents focus more about not showing the greater diversity that existed in Baltimore City, whether it was issues of socioeconomic status. A lot of comments of where was the middle class? How come we weren't talked about in The Wire? As well as talking about what is the plight of those who are poor and working class in so many of our American cities.
Dr. Moffitt, I found The Wire fascinating. First of all, it was excellent writing. Great social commentary on a variety of issues.
Yes.
I guess I agree to some extent about the middle class and their depiction or lack of depiction in the show. But I find it interesting. Now, are you seeing any, because, you know, a lot of our elected officials and politicians just absolutely despised the show because of the depiction they believe that was sent out around the world. Are you finding any disparity in the perception of The Wire? Does the survey make some kind of exception for race? Whites and how they view The Wire, or how blacks and African Americans may view the programming?
And it will. It's too preliminary at this point to offer that kind of response. But we do ask for that demographic information so that we can tabulate what are folks of particular socioeconomic status,
right,
as well as race, ethnicity, as well as age, as well as particular professions. What are those demographics thinking about this this television series? So we'll see some of that closer to this Leeds conference.
What do you think about The Wire? What impression do you have of The Wire if you're living in Baltimore listening to this right now, of what it says about the city that you're in? Wherever you're calling from, 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Or you can log on to our Facebook page and join the conversation there. We'll read your comments on the airwaves. You just heard the voice of Kimberly Moffitt, who is an assistant professor of American Studies at UMBC, and will be giving her results of the study she's doing, survey she's doing on The Wire, at a conference taking place in England. That'll be at University of York in England, that Roger Burroughs is convening, and he'll be joining us shortly. We're trying to get through right now to England on the phone to get him on. And Clark Peters from The Wire will be joining us as well. 410-319-8888. And the depictions of the cities in England right now and other places, they're seeing this as one of the great new ways sociologically that you can look at our society. You know, when you look at David Simon's work that pulls from kind of Greek tragedy and Greek drama to the streets of Baltimore and talks about the media industry and talks about the docks. And in very hard ways. And some people think things are missing from The Wire. Some think it's an incredible depiction. Some people think it's a depiction that needs to be seen by the rest of the world. What are your thoughts? 410-319-8888. And we'll tell you how to fill out the survey for Dr. Kimberly Moffitt and have your voice be heard around the world. T in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Well, T, welcome to the show.
Good. I've never seen an episode of The Wire. I've heard so much negative things about The Wire and what it depicts, and I just don't like that. I don't care where I go. I was on a cruise in Antigua, and they said, oh my God, you live in Baltimore. It's so dangerous. Oh my God, do you come out at night? I've lived here for 48 years, and I walk them down the street at night. I don't have any problems living in Baltimore City. The thing that I hate about Baltimore City is that people from Baltimore County, Hagerstown, and all other areas come to Baltimore City, commit crimes, and give us a bad name.
That's interesting. What do you think about that, Anthony?
I think that the same thing that T shared with us. Mark, you and I have traveled. We've been fortunate to travel around the world. And people, I guess to some extent, I'm a pop culture fan. I watch television. I have been stunned by the impact of this particular program on pop culture. and people around the world. I remember I was in Jordan for about 15 days, and almost every restaurant we went into, when we get into conversations with people, Mark, about why we were there, was a group of journalists, and we'd say we were from Baltimore, they would bring up David Simon and The Wire.
Well, it says a lot to us about the poor writing on television, too, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah.
But they really, and Mark, they took it at heart and face value that that our city, in many ways, because it capsulized neighborhoods and socioeconomic groups and racial groups as well, that our city was a very dangerous place. And they asked questions. Where do you live in Baltimore? Do you know where these things take place and about drug addiction and about the brutality of police? I mean, they really had serious questions, and it really speaks to the power of that medium,
right.
But it was something.
But I wonder, though, when, you know, part of what's going on here is that there are, I remember when the premiere of the last season of Wire was, the first episode was shown at the Senator Theater.
Mm-hmm. I remember that night, yeah.
Huge turnout.
Big.
Black, white, cross community spectrum. Mm. And there was a demonstration outside. These people were demonstrating against the depiction of African Americans in that TV show, in that TV series. I remember some of the African American stars on the series got into a real argument with people on the line. Because it was also, The Wire was, there were never more African American actors in one place at one time. On television and on The Wire. Speaking of which, we've just been joining one of them right now. And in the studio right now is Clark Peters, who played Lester Freeman on The Wire. Actor, singer, writer, director, and now he's also going to be in the newest David Simon production. Good to see you, Clark. How you doing, man?
See you there, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good. I look just clean-shaven. Look, boy, I don't know, man.
Does this look familiar?
Now that looks familiar.
It's good to see you. Good to see you, Mark. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. I'm sorry I was delayed.
Oh, that's all right. You're here.
Yeah.
That's all that counts. So, you know, that's part of the argument people are giving. And let's see what some listeners on the outside think about that and come back to our guests here, because I don't want to keep you waiting on the phone too long. 410-319-8888. John Carden, you're on the air.
Mark, how are you? Anthony.
Hi, John. How are you, John?
Anthony, you actually stole a lot of the thunder of what I was going to say. It's very difficult for me to go, whether I'm going and meeting with other legislators around the country or just people from out of the state or even out of the city, and to have to justify what Baltimore really is and what we're about. It is very, very difficult for me. And that being said, I think that there's a sensationalism out there that is being created, whether by the media, by television in general, that really is that people believe that there's sort of this insider and this outsider, and that people in Baltimore, there must be something special about Baltimore that's different, that they can have a cultural phenomenon such as The Wire that really exists and that it's true to form, when in fact it's a piece of all the different cities out there, as the professor said earlier in the show. And that people need to realize that this sensationalism is merely just a little bit of show business and trying to bring it all together.
What do you all think about that?
I completely agree with the caller. But I also think what's interesting, which is why this conference in Leeds is so interesting as well, is that I think David Simon and his writing crew are actually forcing the Academy and the average citizen in Baltimore City or any city, America, to really deal with what is going on in our society. And it could easily bridge this disconnect that I think has always existed between the Academy and average citizens, because we don't talk to each other and it doesn't always connect. So we are over in our ivory tower talking about these issues, but we're never really connecting to what's happening and making sure that this literature that we are producing or this research that we're producing is actually changing things in our society. And so I think as strong as the social commentary was, I think because we start to see people talking about it in the Academy, it's really pushing us down the path to say, we've got to deal with these issues and do something different than just talking about it and being talking heads.
And Mark, I think that the thing that Delegate Carden brings brings up about the sensationalism, or let's be honest about how television is produced, and it has to be a little bit of added drama.
Right.
I agree, but I think one of the wonderful things about The Wire is it gave us an inside look at what we speculate a lot
going
about,
on.
Whether it was how police are wiretapping and watching drug dealers, how the drug dealer structure is set. We learned those things in reality from the great writing and depiction on The Wire.
Clark, good to have you here, man. So tell me what you think about all this.
Well, I only came in at the latter end of that gentleman's question. I find the phenomenon rather interesting. I agree with you that it's more documentary, and that we should really just take a look at it much more so than it is just sensationalism. It has a lot of substance, and the reason that I'm sort of blown away by it is that these issues are not just here in America, and it's certainly not just in Baltimore. I was in Scotland over August, and it's the sensation of The Wire there is amazing. And the reason why is because they can see in The Wire their society.
Right.
They can see the things that go wrong there. You know, so it's a bit of, I guess, academia that sort of come under the wire, so to speak, you know, sensationalized. Mm-hmm. And if we use it accurately, we might be able to find some solutions. It never offered, and I don't think that David ever wanted to try to offer
it. No, he wasn't trying to do that.
You know, but just present it as it is.
Yeah. But, I mean, David also approaches the world in a kind of, in some ways, in a very nihilistic way. I mean, seeing what capitalism has wrought on the planet, and he talks about that, and that's what The Wire really is about. It's about the effects of capitalism and deindustrialization and what's happened to our working class communities and corruption and power and politics is what he covered, and also his passion of the death of media, the death of newspapers,
right,
as he sees it.
Right.
So,
and also the complexity of his characters, I think, is what really sold this show to so many of us. It's being able to look at a Stringer Bell and see him as, you know, the scum of the earth in some ways, but then also very
compassionate.
Yes, and wanting to see him succeed, to move away from where the life he had been leading, and then being disappointed to see him, you know, shot and killed.
Well, we have a lot of people who have called in, and they're also being joined right now on the phone by Roger Burroughs, who's professor of sociology at the University of York in England, who's the convener of this conference in November. Roger, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Hi.
I'm glad we got through to England. This is a good thing. Kimberly Moffitt's in the studio, who's assistant professor of American Studies at UMBC.
Hi there.
Hi, Roger.
And Kimberly, we were presenting a paper at this conference. Clark Peters is with us, who played Lester Freeman on The Wire.
Yep, hi there.
Hello. Actor, singer, writer, director, and is in the new series being shot by David Simon in New Orleans. And, of course, Anthony McCarthy is with us, co-host here every Monday and many other days as well, has his own show here every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We're going to get to these calls, that Lisa, Troy, and Carol in that order, the next three up. So hold on. We did want to introduce Roger Burroughs to America here, and also to have Roger, if you just talk a bit about the power of The Wire in Britain and why it leads to such serious academic conferences as the one you're putting on over our Thanksgiving holiday. Know that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I just came in at the end of your conversation there, and some of the things that you were saying really had resonances with what we're trying to do with the conference. I mean, The Wire has only just been shown on BBC television here in the last 6 months, but it's been incredibly popular for a long, long period of time amongst journalists, amongst politicians, amongst academics, amongst political activists. And it's really spread by word of mouth, and people get very, very obsessed with the show, not just because of its narrative power, but because of its completeness and its analysis, its critical analysis of many of the current circumstances that we all confront. And I think in a very profound way, it's really, really not just kind of politicized people, but got people to think about things in a way that is really sometimes quite profound, away from the normal kind of reality TV garbage that fills most of the television in this country anyway. And it's actually got people talking in a way that I can't really recall any other television show doing in my memory anyway.
But it seems to say something very special to people in Britain. And I've been reading some of the things that you've written, some of the other people who have written at this conference, and was involved in a conversation with folks at the Echo, which is the paper in Leeds around the wire after the Conservative member of Parliament said this is where Britain is going, and that talked about the inner cities of Britain being like the wire, and it's caused
I think it's as again I think someone else was saying when I first came into the conversation, it deals with themes that are really generic to capitalism. I mean, it's not just about what's happening in Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore is clearly just a kind of conduit for thinking about a whole general process of what happens when cities deindustrialize, when populations change, when the political system, you know, fails to be effective. I mean, it touches issues about provincial cities the world over. And it is very important for us that we're holding the conference in Leeds, because when David Simon was over on his numerous visits that he's had in this last year or so, he's become something of a personality, appearing at various kind of literary festivals and on the television and on the radio and in the newspapers. But he was saying it was very important that The Wire wasn't set in Los Angeles, that it wasn't set in New York, it was set in Baltimore. And if he was going to do a show in England, it would have been in Leeds, it would have been in Manchester, it would have been in a place that was more marginal, which had its own history, had its own specificity, but wasn't one of these big global cities. It was somewhere where actually most of the world's population lives, and it was very important to actually have the show in those sorts of places. So I think people in this country, and I think in Europe and in Australia and across the world, all recognize the generality of the message of the sorts of issues that The Wire confronts in a way that is far more successful than most policy work and most academic work on the same subject.
Yeah, I do want to explore the power of the media and how it kind of changes our discussion about the world, how The Wire plays into that. Let me first open the lines, let listeners join us here. You just heard Roger Burrows, professor of sociology at the University of York in England, who's convening this conference on The Wire over the Thanksgiving holiday. Dr. Kimberly Moffitt is with us, who's assistant professor of American Studies at UMBC, who's presenting at that conference. Clark Peters is with us, who played Lester Freeman on The Wire and is a noted actor and thinker and social activist as well. And Anthony McCarthy's in the studio co-hosting with us. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to Facebook and join the discussion there. And we'll get to those ideas as well that you throw out there in discussion. Who's been holding on the longest is Lisa in Elkridge. You're on the air.
Mark, hi, Anthony, and hi, Kimberly.
Hi, Lisa.
I've been a longstanding fan of both of you, Mark and Anthony, so this is my first time calling in.
Oh, well, welcome.
So I'll try to be brief. Thank you. I'm a colleague of Kimberly's at
UMBC. Yes, I recognize the voice. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Kimberly. I just forwarded all of the stuff about your study on Facebook, so I just want you to know hopefully you'll be getting more respondents.
Wonderful.
But I just wanted to quickly say that as a resident who's a transplant of Baltimore, who was a longstanding Baltimore City resident just until this past year, I moved here in 98, what I've always struggled with, being a fan of homicide, life on the street, unfortunately I've never watched The Wire, so I can't speak to that per se, but what I've always struggled with is the perceptions that get built around media coverage, that it's continually centered around certain stereotypical ways of life and how life is drawn in Baltimore that really is racialized, it's class-based, based on education. And, you know, what I've always wanted as a resident is to kind of see a fuller picture of the city. And perhaps The Wire does some of this. Basically, I'm encouraged by some of the comments I've heard thus far about it. But my concern is that ultimately still it's just a slice of what Baltimore is. And I think from a racial and class perspective, we could do with broader images of life in Baltimore beyond the inner city version of what happens in certain neighborhoods to certain people that isn't necessarily indicative of the whole, that ends up really resulting in this insider-outsider dynamic where those of us who live here know the realities in a way that even people say in the county, in Baltimore County or Howard County, don't. And now that I'm a resident of Howard County, I can speak to that more. You know, it's troubling because, you know, as a diversity and social justice educator, I struggle with, you know, the gains that we've made by media coverage and the ways that stories are being told now in much broader ways, and, you know, the race, class, gender intersections that I hear from the Wire storylines are very encouraging. But ultimately, when you get down to the bottom of it, the average viewer doesn't see all those nuances necessarily. The average viewer is looking at this as another crime drama, perhaps.
Well, let me Clark Peters has something here. He's anxious to say something about this.
Lisa, I'm glad you prefaced what you said with you hadn't seen The Wire before, because the criticisms or that you're leveling at it are exactly what makes it unique, is that they do not just spend time in the inner city. We on a couple of locations, we were out in the county for various reasons. And to speak of The Wire and homicide life on the streets in the same context is wrong. They're two different animals. And whereas homicide on the streets, I myself have seen very briefly, fleeting. You know, but I believe it's a case where you set up a premise in the first 5 minutes and it's resolved by the end of 55 minutes. The Wire is much more like a novel, where it takes 13 episodes to tell one story, to follow these people's lives. And that's what makes it unique, because in order to go into their lives, it takes time. We've got to unravel how to... how the mechanics of local government work. And it takes a while, besides just a paragraph of text, to be able to see how far-reaching someone's actions might be today, 4 years, 5 years down the line. And it's though, and also I think that what it has done is captured, not just the narrative has captured people's minds, but I think that it's intelligent television, and that it almost demands the viewer to exercise their intellect, you know, and not just follow a storyline, because everything that goes on in the life of Baltimore, which is what The Wire is about, the life of Baltimore, you know, black, white, rich, poor, all of those, all the citizens that make up the city, it takes a while for that to steep, you know, for the viewer to get hold of it. So I feel that already I'm on the back foot trying to defend something that you haven't seen, to let you know how wonderful it is, you know, and that you would be intellectually gratified by watching it as well as emotionally following the narrative. You know?
And she would. But I found some of it, it took me a moment to get into The Wire, largely because of the level of violence that I felt was exhibited often in the program. And so I remember being distanced from it as well, not wanting to believe that this is the very city that I'm living in from day to day. And so I do understand comments like Lisa's that come up time and time again, but I also agree, and certainly the preliminary data that I have from my survey says that it is seen as intelligent television. I mean, the majority of my respondents at this point all have master's degrees and above. Many of them are in household incomes of $100,000 a year or more. So clearly, there is a certain caliber of person who is drawn to The Wire. And I can't speak to at this point whether or not they're being voyeurs looking in, saying, look at what poor people are doing and how they're living, or if they are really engaging that narrative to say, wow, these are some serious issues that our cities are dealing with, and how might we address them in different ways?
We have to take a very short break here and come right back, and I'm going to go right to Roger Burroughs when we return to get his view on what this listener just called and said, and we're going to get to the rest of you and Troy, Lisa, Antoine, Marie, Carol. We're going to come to your calls. And I want to hear, Troy's calling in to talk about that. He says he lives The Wire. I want to see what he means by that. And talk a bit about the violence that you see in The Wire and how I think it's very real and where it is in our streets. We'll be right back at 410-319-8888. Remind you, on the way to break, the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland Hospital for Children, offering primary, specialty, and critical care for all children, from the smallest babies to the biggest teenagers. For more information or to learn about their specialty outpatient locations throughout the state, call 1-800-316-3900. 1-800-492-5538. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ was formed in 1936 to help people during the Great Depression, and over 70 years later, they're still here to help people during difficult times. More information is available at mecu.com. We are joined in studio by Clark Peters, who played Lester Freeman on The Wire, Dr. Kimberly Moffitt, who is assistant professor of American Studies at UMBC and is conducting an international survey on the power of The Wire. The Wire says to us all that she'll present at a conference in England, that is being convened by Dr. Roger Burrows, professor of sociology at the University of York in England, who also joins us by phone. In studio is Anthony McCarthy, my co-host here on Mondays, and of course host of his own show here on WEAA every Friday at 5 o'clock, and we'll be here again tomorrow. We can't get enough of each other. 419-8888 is the number here. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com or write to us or get on Facebook, Mark Steiner Show page, and have the conversation there. I'll see what you're talking about and bring those comments to the airwaves as well. Before we go back to the phones, Roger, I'd like you to comment on that last dialogue we just had.
Yes, fascinating. I mean, the first thing is to say, of course, is watch it. And the second thing to say is watch it beyond the first two or three episodes. I mean, what happens is that the first two or three episodes are difficult. They're difficult because I think not because of the issue of the violence as much as the level of profanity. I know one of the things that people in the UK have found most shocking is the use of language in nearly every scene, the level of profanity, and especially the use of the N-word, which certainly on British television is not normal. So people have to get through that process. But then the characterization, the storyline, the complexity of the pieces is absolutely stunning. I mean, I think I've never seen a piece of television which has had the kind of character development that one sees in The Wire. I mean, I think especially of the character like Presbyluski, who, when you first meet him in the first two episodes, is a person who you really despise and really loathe. And yet by the end of season four, you love him. The character development and what that says about the development of a person in relation to the structural circumstances that they confront, I think is one of the most profound pieces of television I've ever seen. But I think you talk about the way in which your city is potentially stereotyped. I think it's a wonderful depiction of a lively, vibrant city. I mean, it motivated me to come to Baltimore a year or so ago to a conference, and many of the other conference delegates were there for exactly the same reason. Mm-hmm. They actually wanted to come to understand the city, because the show is about the city, not about the particular characters who are within the show. It's about all of the relationships between rich and poor, between black and white, between the various sections of the institutions that make up that particular place. And if anything, I would say that it's a cultural draw to Baltimore, rather than being something that's going to make people think that it's going to conform to the kinds of stereotypes that were being depicted there.
There's a comment on The Wire. Sheldon Laskin wrote in, "Don't give away any more endings." Fran and I are about three episodes away from the series end on DVD. Not everyone has HBO.
Why
is the most intellectually challenging and honest drama I've ever seen on TV or elsewhere? 410-319-8888. And Troy in Baltimore County, you're on the air.
How you doing, Mark Steiner?
Well, Troy, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Anthony McCartney?
Hey, Troy, welcome.
Okay, I mean, I live in Baltimore County now, but I actually grew up in Baltimore City, and I more or less grew up 10 years in Lexington, Florida.
Uh-huh.
So basically, when I look at The Wire, I could actually pick through it and know who they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing something like that, it's not impressive to me, because I actually live there. I could sit here in my car and close my eyes, and I could think of the night, the sirens and police and stuff that actually happened, which created this series, The Wire. But what I need to know is, when shows like that actually leave Baltimore, do they put anything back into the community to try to prevent stuff like that from happening again? Like, do they put money back into drug intervention, drug abuse? Do they do anything to, you know, make the situation better instead of just taking out? Do they do anything to put back into it?
That's a really important question, because people's lives, especially people on the oppressed end of the spectrum of our existence, can feel used and abused by media portrayals and nothing coming back. What do you all think about that?
Well, I mean, I do know that most of any film or production like The Wire that comes to a city and utilizes its resources does put something back into it in terms of helping those whose properties they use, whose restaurants that are being utilized during that time. So there is something. But I think probably the most current or contemporary example that we can use would probably be Sonia Sohn's project, Rewired for Change, in which she's trying to make that connection to utilize a show like this to say we need to teach our kids how to make better decisions based on what they're seeing here so that they know that these are unwise decisions and here's a different path that they can take. So I think that's a wonderful example of what Troy is looking for, and we can certainly create something that would proliferate this so that we see more and more examples of programs like that. But I think Sonia Sohn's new project is a wonderful example.
And I spoke with Sonia today. She couldn't be here today because she was working on that project tonight. She couldn't be in the studio, but she'll be in here soon to talk about that work. And I think that that's a real, very real question. I mean, because I think that there's a lot of exploitation of the violence inside poverty and very little kind of giving back. And I think that's part of the battle going on politically now is how do we answer what's going on with poverty and the violence that grows out of that.
And I really appreciate Troy's question. And I remember, Mark, just probably as you have, I have moderated events for youth organizations here in the city where David Simon not only generously gave financially, but he would make the cast available. He himself sat on panels as a draw to help raise money for youth organizations in the city of Baltimore.
Let me jump back to the phones here. We'll come back to other guests as well. 410-319-8888. Carol, you're on the air.
I'm in the city of Baltimore.
Carol, you're on the air.
Back to the phones here. We'll come back to other guests as well.
Hello? We got Carol?
Yes.
Carol, you're on, okay, Carol was on the air, but let's go to Marie in Baltimore. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Carol.
This is Carol or Marie?
Yes, Carol.
I'm all confused, but Carol, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I've been holding for a while.
So is everybody else, but I'm sorry, but go ahead.
Okay, thanks for letting me comment. But I wanted to echo much of what everyone is saying and ask you all to please not overlook it to the extent that I know that this is Hollywood and it's money, it's sensational, it's interesting. But I would venture to say that much like we look at cold case murders and crashes on the street with the type of voyeurism that draws something in human nature, mm-hmm. Of all of us. I believe that the ignorance of many of the inner city people, which includes myself growing up in Baltimore, and I have seen The Wire many times, and I have been a part of the community in some extent that The Wire is actually depicting. But I believe that the ignorance is exploited to the point where Baltimore has always been known as a experimental place where much of the people, not unintelligent, but the ignorance of the people is exploited and is not given back. I know many of the people who I believe The Wire actually is speaking of, and I'm one who has you know, not completely moved out of the neighborhood because my family has always lived in the neighborhood. But, mm-hmm. you know, I've managed to go to school and lift myself to a point where, you know, I can communicate and achieve my desires on any level. But I would say that this is rationalized with how good it is or how motivational it is for someone to come from England to see. It's rationalized much in the same way that drug dealers rationalize that they have a demand for their product, and that's why they sell it.
Well,
and it's a sort of chilling enjoyment that the young children are not able to discern the the visceral response that they get from seeing youth glamorized on TV and selling drugs and in that type of lifestyle, they can't see the subtle
Carolyn, just in the interest of time, we have so many callers behind you as well. I know that both Clark Peters and Roger Burrows like to have them comment on both from the British perspective and what he sees from your on your comments. But let me start with Clark Peters and then go to Roger Burrows.
Something you said at the very top of your talk there got me, and that we know it's Hollywood. The Wire is not Hollywood, and that's what makes it different. It's more docudrama. Those things that are being sensationalized are what appear to be sensationalized are things that happen in the streets of not only Baltimore but Detroit, anywhere where the industry has left, and where industry has left a multitude of people with no work. You know, it's I forgot where I was going with that. There were so many things you spoke on, young lady, that I just thought that by hitting that it's not Hollywood would probably cover all of those issues.
Roger, give me your response to
what you just heard. Well, we spend in this country, and I guess in the States as well, millions and millions and millions of pounds each year on policy evaluation of urban programs and of drug programs and other kinds of social policy responses to the sorts of issues that The Wire deals with. And yet, why I was so interested in The Wire, one of the reasons I was interested in The Wire, is that it does such a better job in terms of actually allowing people who wouldn't normally have access to those environments to try and understand and to try and empathize with the sorts of processes that actually generate those sorts of problems. I mean, I'd go as far as to say that it's had a more profound effect on how we think about those sorts of issues than any careful piece of experimentation or huge piece of investment in social and policy research. So from my point of view, in terms of the kind of work that I does that I do, it's generated more kind of imaginative ideas and understandings of the process than anything that social and policy researchers have done.
Roger. Do you remember when the mines were being closed down there?
I do remember.
You know, those are the environments that The Wire exists in. And,
right.
And the years that I've spent in England, I'm particularly having seen The Wire and hearing Dom West, for example, say that these stories just don't live in England and that the BBC is much better at doing period pieces. to a certain degree, I agree with what he's saying, but I think you need to draw from a different school of writers, you know, for Britain. And you need to go to those areas like that have some historical resonance, like those cities that were abandoned when the mines were closed. Because you can bet that it's around those areas now, right now, that you will find Baltimore.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. I mean, where I am in York, just 50 miles from here, we would have anything approaching 5-6 million people living in conurbations with exactly the same problems around the ports of Teesside and around the northeast, down to the South Yorkshire minefields, with huge conurbations which you would not find in any period drama. And actually, which don't normally feature within the entertainment media, if I could call it that. Doesn't mean that the problems aren't there, or the sorts of issues to do with drugs and depression and violence and those sorts of issues and political failure aren't there. It's just that they're not represented within popular understandings of those sorts of processes, and therefore people don't show any interest, and they don't go to those places. And so a televisual experience like this, albeit within a different country, that opens up those sorts of processes and those debates that people can recognize within their own communities has more value than as I say, so much of the social research that goes on. We get it sometimes in novels. We get it sometimes within experimental cinema, but not within mainstream televisual media within this country, or I would say Europe more generally.
I'm going to return to the phones here and get some other comments that people are calling in with. And I think what you just said, Roger, is something that I picked up and gleaned from the paper you sent me over the weekend to read that you wrote, which is the idea that this whole looking at our social being on this planet and the issues that we face really is there's more power in things like The Wire than there are in all the social texts that we write, because it kind of grabs human beings in a much more visceral way that maybe they can then churn in an intellectual way. But let me read a couple of matters, then we'll come to Kimberly wants to say something. Let me just read a couple of things, get one caller in here, and we'll come right to Kimberly Moffitt. So I'm going to talk about her survey, make sure people go fill it out so she can finish her research to take to England with her. Tim Ward wrote in on Facebook, "I love our people and our city. Others need to know how tough yet good this love is and how much this love needs to be given." Sean Gallagher wrote in on the Facebook, "The Wire is the rightful heir to muckraking fiction like Upton Sinclair's, only better written." That I thought was interesting. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Marie, you've been holding on a long time. You're on the air.
Good evening, everybody. Marie. I'm happy to be on air. I like what the other gentleman said about the show. The person from England, I don't know whether he knew, but this is sort of a docudrama in a sense that it portrays people who live here or lived here, and they're telling the story about what they did, about actual characters. And my dental assistant told me about Stringer Bell, that a lot of women liked him. And I didn't go for him. I mean, I wouldn't go for that type of a man, because he's like cold fish to me. I couldn't stand that. And
you're more the Lester Freeman type, aren't you? That's a Lester Freeman. You got something.
And even Bob Ehrlich's wife, Kendall, mm-hmm. I think that's her name. She said she liked Stringer Bell too. She went for him too.
Then he's easy on the eye.
I know. also, I liked the series because it showed a little bit of politicians who are connected with crime. It showed the demise of the newspaper here, which is nationwide, mm-hmm. maybe worldwide, I don't know. And what else did it show in there? Oh, the waterfront. The crime that goes down there, which I'm totally ignorant about, and it was a nitty gritty series.
Well,
and that's all I have to say. Go ahead.
I'm glad you joined us in the Hatcher say. And Kimberly, before we jump back into, you had a comment to make, and I also want you to make a comment about where people can find the survey if you want to encourage all of our listeners to kind of partake in your survey as well.
Sure. I actually wanted to respond to the previous caller because I do appreciate her response, because I think what does get lost in these discussions is we assume everyone can decipher and engage the media for what it is and intellectually understand what they're trying to accomplish. And this just leads into further of my research in terms of media literacy, of giving students as well as adults the skills to understand how it is that they can critically engage the media, so that when they receive messages like this, they are still able to take away what is needed from it and be able to continue on with life. Whereas so many of our students, even at the college level that I'm dealing with day to day, clearly accept everything that comes to them, especially now in the age of reality TV genre. Everything that is presented to them is fact. It is not sensational. It is fact. It is as real as The Wire is to many of my students. And so I think it's important for us to understand that, you know, even if we're talking about a 5-year-old, which is my son, all the way to adult, which is my student sitting in my classroom, that there are a certain set of skills that are necessary to be able to critically engage the media so that folks can walk away with the information that's necessary necessary to continue living their lives. But unfortunately, without those skills, I think what does happen is, as the caller mentioned, is that there's this acceptance or glamorizing of what The Wire may present. So Stringer Bell does become someone that somebody is aspiring to or thinking that they could also be, instead of being able to critically see what are the complexities of his character and why is it problematic. And I'm hoping that that's exactly what Sonia Sohn's program plans to do, is to help students decipher some of that.
410-319-8888. Antoine, you're on the air.
First of all, thank you guys for having me.
Sure. It's my pleasure.
You're welcome.
Pleasure. Go ahead.
I just would like to address certain situations and why I grew up in East Baltimore. And the neighborhood that I grew up in was a great neighborhood when my mother lived there as a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I guess through lack of education or lack of jobs, the neighborhood has gone down, and the drug culture has invaded the neighborhood.
Right.
Well, and a lot of my friends that I grew up with got caught up in that situation. Now, I look at their family structure, and a lot of things take part in that. You know, the lack of father situation, and, you know, the mother who has a lot of kids and she can't really afford to take care of them adequately, which leaves the older children to basically fend for themselves.
Right.
And that's where you find your simulation of, and that's how you get involved in things that you're not supposed to be in. Now, the Stringer Bell character.
Right.
It's far and few that make it out. And actually, when he thought he made it out, he really did. So, and to say in a nutshell, it was a lot of truth to The Wire, but a lot of it was to sell. And that's business. So you have to look at that and appreciate where it came from and what it represents.
I think that
the Baltimore to me is that, like the family that I come from, my grandfather worked for the railroad for 40 years, being a railroad.
Antoine, we're almost out of time. But so I just want you to finish your thoughts, so I didn't want to cut you off.
Just thank you guys for having me, and I appreciate you touching on the topic.
I appreciate you being
Keep
part
listening,
of the show.
Keep listening, Antoine.
Thank you so much. We'll get you on a little earlier next time so you can have more to say. I do want to turn to Kimberly Moffitt real fast and make sure that folks know how to get to the survey. Kimberly?
By all means, I can be reached via email at kmoffitt, which is K-M-O-F-F-I-T-T. As in Frank, I-T-T, at umbc.edu. I can also be reached via telephone at 410-455-1451. And I also think that the Mark Steiner Show is going to create a link for us.
SteinerShow.org. It'll be right there. As well, we'll have links to the conference that Roger Burroughs is putting on at the University of Suffolk, University of York, in England. I'm sorry about that, Roger.
Okay, I come from Suffolk.
So. You come from Suffolk. I knew there was something about Suffolk I had right. And thank you so much all for being here today. This has been a pleasure to have you on the studio. I wish you had more time. I look forward to doing this again. I think
thank
that
you.
Maybe this whole idea of talking about The Wire from a lot of different angles about the future of urban areas and what capitalism has wrought on the planet might be an interesting way to kind of jump off on different discussions. And Roger Burroughs, thank you so much. I'm glad we had a chance to connect, and good to have you on the air with us. I hope we get a chance to meet.
Yep, I hope so too. See you in Leeds, I hope.
I hope so. And Kimberly Moffitt, good to have you. Thank you so much for getting in touch and making
thank
the show
you.
Be here. Clark Peters, great pleasure to see you once again.
My pleasure, thank you.
Really good to see you. And Anne McCarthy, thanks for the co-hosting.
My pleasure. I look forward to our Mondays together.
I do too. And before we go, I want to remind everyone to be sure to get your tickets to WEAA's first homecoming cruise. Join us for a night of fun and games at WEAA's Cotton Club Casino Fun Night Cruise aboard the Spirit of Baltimore, Thursday, October the 8th, 7 to 10 p.m., sailing from the Inner Harbor. It includes dinner and a special performance from soulful jazz vocalist Gene Karn. A portion of your ticket will benefit WEAA, so don't miss the boat. Call 410-727-3113 or 1-800-695-BOAT. That's 1-800-695-2628. Or just log on to WEAA.org. And the Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producer is Justin Levy. We're engineered today by Brian Boone. Our interns are Judith Lloyd, Brian Boone, Richard Good, Gabe Pinder, and Devin Finley. Our theme music by Will Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our shows, and hear additional interviews, just go to steinershow.org. And for WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by MECU, Baltimore's credit union, and the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development.